Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Okay, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the air. Bob Getty and Kelly Sander. We're in the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg, Mississippi on a Thursday afternoon. We're glad you're with us. Opening segment of the show is sponsored as it is every day by our wonderful friends at Movie Star Restaurant, where you go for a great Southern cooking buffet 6 days a week. They've been doing it 25 years right here in Oak Grove. Started out in Purvis, actually, at the old Movie Star
Factory,
if I'm not mistaken, Kelly. And moved here many years ago. Man, they just do a great job. Kelly and I have been there very often. And we thank the world of the family, and we thank the world of the food, don't we?
And it's kind of like the old TV show Cheers. A lot of regular people there. They all know your name, and that always makes you feel special, too.
I know this guy that's in the studio with us. Graham Crawford is joining us on today's edition of the Eagle Hour. In a little bit, we're going to be talking to Michael Avalon, who is the coach down at Pearl River Community College. They just won the Junior College National Tournament for the second time in 3 years. We're going to talk to him about that and also just recruiting in general for junior college athletes. But, Graham, welcome back into the studio. It's good to see you, and since I last saw you, well, I have seen you since, but you got a new baby in the house that I hope the news is that the baby's wonderful.
Oh, he is outstanding. Well, it's good to be back with y'all guys. It's been a while. It's definitely always good to be back in the studio. But no, Jet is healthy as can be. He is growing like a weed and is the happiest little man in the world.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that.
Yeah, he's happy now. Wait till he figures out who his old man is. And then...
Right. Yeah.
Graham, a few days have passed now since the end of the regional here in Hattiesburg. You played at a very high level here and at Alabama. Kind of put into words, if you will, what you figure is going through the minds of the Colby Allens of the world right now, who the regional is over and their career is over.
More than words can explain. Emotions are going everywhere. This is what he knows is Southern Miss baseball, and it's been his whole life. For the last 4 years, you know, he bleeds black and gold. This team meant the world to him. It's the same thing with Matthew Russo and some of those other guys, Tucker Stockman, that have been here, that have seen the program at the highs and the lows throughout the last 4 years. But they're definitely taking time to just remember all the great times. They're going out and probably hitting BP at night on the field, just doing stupid stuff together as a team one last time while you're still all there.
The other thing I think that you guys have to deal with, Graham, as a player, is this has been their identity.
Yes.
Not just Southern Miss, but all they've ever known is being a baseball player. So what are they going to do without practice? Real life kicks in, and sometimes real life kicks you in the teeth.
No doubt about it. But I'll say one thing, and this is what I'm very confident in, and actually Matthew Russo touched on this in a press conference last week, was one thing that Southern Miss does, and Christian Ostrander is outstanding at this, is getting guys prepared for real life, getting guys prepared to go out and be the best husband, be the best father, be a very productive person in society, that the things that he instills about how the mind is a powerful thing, it really, really, really makes a huge difference whenever it comes to, hey, you're about to get kicked in the teeth, whether they know it or not.
Well, and when you're a really good athlete, too, and good at what you do, you have a natural ego to you. That's just a fact. There's nothing wrong with that. So when people don't recognize you anymore, Graham, when you played at Summerall, you won some state championships, I mean, just you've achieved it just about every level. Well, now you're just a regular guy.
Right.
How did you deal? Was it a problem, and how did you deal with it?
I mean, it was tough, but I think I never wanted my identity to be in baseball alone, and I think that helped making that transition. Of course, now I sell insurance, but at the end of the day, I want people to know me for me and not necessarily for the things that I've done. And those guys finding that new thing, because they're going to be in search for whatever that may be, because a big chunk is now gone, a big chunk of time, a big chunk of all they know, something that they are like to be called masters in a sense. The fact that they've done something for that long, that's what they know. They can talk the ins and the outs of the game. Well, now they're about to have to learn a whole new skill, a whole new it's just going to be completely different.
A new way of life.
Yes.
Well, you're
yes.
a well-rounded guy. They are too, obviously, and you're all intelligent young men. How long did it take you to decompress and put college baseball out of your life?
I would say at least a year.
A year?
At least to find my new routine, to find the new norm. It's going to take time. You have to digest. Of course, you got some of these guys that very well might take that next step, go play pro ball, right? And I'm not sure which one of them are going to or have plans to. But it's going to take time. It's going to take a little bit of time for them to let that life be behind them, because that's what you have to do. You definitely can't sit there and dwell on it.
And a lot of times, these guys have had – well, Cross Civilly's married – I mean, already. But a lot of guys have a significant other that they've been with for a while, too. And I wonder that piece of the puzzle, too. I'm sure that they are part of the support system.
Most definitely. Most definitely. I know a lot of those guys have been with their significant other for a long time. I'm sure Matthew Russo will be married before you know it. Same thing with Colby Allen. I mean, Cross already is.
Right.
Tucker Stockman, same way. And they've got great support staffs, not only their significant other, but their families as well. And then having each other, you know, they're still going to be in contact regularly, at least for a good while, you know. Mm-hmm. And them going through it together, it'll really help.
You know Cross pretty well, I'm going to guess.
Yes, sir.
Being
yes.
from both of you from Summerall. He strikes me as being a kind of kid that won't really have any trouble adjusting.
I hope not. I hope he absolutely kills it in whatever's next. The question
is, he wants
is,
to farm, he said. He wants to be a cattle farmer.
Hey, I know he'll be good at it.
Yeah.
I tell you this, he will definitely put more hours in than anyone else, because Cross is the guy that if you have a 1 o'clock scrimmage and he's penciled to, let's say, hey, Cross, you're going to throw in the fourth inning today. You're going to have 20 pitches. Cross will be down there stretching at 9:30.
From a 1 o'clock start.
For a 1 o'clock start, and he's not throwing until 2:30.
Well, when he told me that he wanted to be a cattle farmer, I told him, I said, knowing you, Cross, you're just going to grab the bull by the horns. And it went right over his head.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something, Graham. I think, you know, you can, you know, when you look back on this baseball program and this team, obviously you're going to think about Matthew Russo. You're going to think about Colby Allen. I get all of that. But let me tell you who this team's going to miss. It's going to miss that old steady hand across Civilly. And he did it again this weekend. I'd have left him out there, because he came in. He calmed the situation down. What contact they made was minor, weak contact against him. And I've watched him do that throughout his career, Graham. He's the calming influence.
You are watching a veteran go out there and go to work every time he does. He's not the guy that's the stuff is going to blow you away. He's not going to throw a 95-mile-an-hour fastball. He's not going to throw an 85-mile-an-hour slider. But he's going to compete his tail off, and he's never going to let the moment get too big for him.
Mm-hmm. What was it like catching him?
It was outstanding. I loved it because I knew he was going to throw it. There was two pitches. It's either a fastball that moves just a hair or a slider that comes in the other way. And he's going to throw it right around the zone just about every single time. Especially way back in the gap, he was a freshman. It might have been his eighth grade year. He had the lowest ERA in the state.
Now, you're a catcher. I want you to explain this stat, because Kelly and I – when I told Kelly this stat this morning, I think he was as bewildered as when I read it. I want you to explain to me how a pitching staff can – strike out 18 batters. 18 of the 27 outs they got against Virginia were strikeouts, and the Cavaliers scored 15 runs.
Outs aren't the only thing that dictates the game. I mean, whenever you're hitting five homers a game, I guess it doesn't matter. You can strike out 25 times. You can still win if the other
– Do you find that an odd stat?
No, not necessarily. That just means they hit the ball extremely hard when they hit it. That's all that means.
Yeah, we talked about on the show, I think it was this past Monday, we were talking about how it seemed like everything that came off their bat was a foot and a half inside the line.
Here's the other thing you got to think about. If they are striking out that many times, how many pitches does it take to get to a strikeout versus a pop-up or a ground ball? So now we've got an arm that should be at 50 pitches in the sixth inning or seventh inning, but now he's at 85 pitches because those guys are battling. Those guys are not letting strikeouts happen easily. They're fouling pitches off.
You hear the term all the time, having a good at bat, and lots of times these young kids will think a good at bat is, well, I have to get a hit, I have to get a single, I have to get a double. A good at bat can be going up there and wearing a pitcher down, having a 7-8
six pitches or more.
Yeah, six pitches or more. And but little kids don't understand that. But you can really have those good at bats, and I think that's kind of what you were referring to, that they
most
had
definitely
a lot of good at bats.
Those guys were a tough out, man. They played their tails off.
Yeah. All right, we got Graham Crawford in the studio with us. We're about to hear from the Pearl River Community College coach, who's on quite a run himself. As we head to the break, I want to remind you about our good buddies at Forest Health. They remind you that it is fun to keep up with your favorite team, but you're the most important player. Don't ever forget that. Be sure you get an annual physical, eat right, and exercise as much as you can. Be sure your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home, foresthealth.org. And as we head to the break, I want to remind you about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. That's where you can hear Graham again tonight on Audible, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher. Tune in YouTube or Alexa or Siri will play it for everybody except Kelly, Graham. Alexa or Siri will not talk to Kelly Sanders.
Why should they be different than any other
nothing,
women?
Some things never change. Right. We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, I want to remind you about our good buddies out at Eagle Tire West on Highway 98 West. Matt Warren and his family invite you to see them for premium tire products, every major brand. Specialize in Goodyear, of course, but they sell every major brand. Full auto and truck service also at Eagle Tire West. Just had some done for my car, and they did a great job. They're next to Smith Motor Company, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. They're family operated since 1985. Eagle Tire and Eagle Tire West. Goodyear Tires, full service. Big Southern Miss supporters, as are the good guys at Genesis of Hattiesburg. They're the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Their sedans and SUVs are gorgeous. They're all at Mississippi's exclusive Genesis dealership. They're on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. Congratulations to the Pearl River Community College Wildcats. They win the National Junior College Baseball Tournament again, two out of the last 3 years. And the head coach joins us right now, Michael Avalon, who clearly, coach, can't be much arguing that you're one of the best at your field in the country. Graham Crawford sitting here grinning. I think he agrees with you. And congratulations, man. What a run you got your kids on. Really proud for you.
Well, thank you so much. And it's man, it's been awesome, but there's one reason we're good, and it's you know, you just mentioned it, it's because of our players. You talk about Graham Crawford and guys like that, and I'm just very fortunate and thankful that we've had unbelievable players that come from really good families that have come in here and just been a blessing to coach, and that's why we have the success that, you know, that we've had for sure.
Coach, do they all turn out as good as this young guy here? Because I got to tell you, he came up during a Southern Miss game earlier this year and came up and spoke to me, and I introduced him to my wife. And as he walked away, and I'm going to embarrass him, he's sitting right here, but as he walked away, she said, "Who is that young man? He is outstanding." And that's this young man, and I gather a lot that come through your program.
Yeah, you know, we have a lot of good players and really good kids, but, you know, one of the things that Graham did also was he was named a captain, and those are – that's the best of the best, in my opinion, as far as the leadership qualities and what you expect from him on the field. And, man, he was an All-American. You know, he was a switch-hitting catcher, which, you know, people just, you know, that's something that is special. He had a really good arm. He also, but you take it a step further, not just being a captain, but he was also the academic All-American, and for the entire country. So he was a special young man, and he is doing well in his his new endeavors and the insurance business and all that. So I've heard reports from him from all his bosses and stuff, and he's doing well, which is no surprise. But again, just thankful to have coach guys like him.
All right, Graham, I teed that up pretty well for you. I'm expecting the check before you leave.
Academic
the
All-American?
Yeah, hard to believe. Right?
Yeah. It's just...
See, yeah, those words
surprised me a little bit.
Yeah, those words don't compute with Kelly Graham. You're going to have to explain that to him.
I can tell you this: if I didn't have all A's, I think my mother would still backhand me to this day.
Ah, yeah, well, that's
what that does. But even it goes back to Coach Avalon making us go. We sit in the first two rows. You are never late. You do not wear a hat. It goes back to the little things that you do on a daily basis.
Well, I can tell you, Coach, he was talking about you before this interview started. This young man thanks the world to you.
Coach, I want to go back to, because part of the responsibilities that you had this year at Pearl River is you took on the role as an athletic director. And full disclosure, I was really worried about that because that's a lot to pay attention to cross the T's and dot all the I's of being the head baseball coach. But then you've got the AD responsibility on top of that. How in the world did you do it?
Well, and I will say this has been, without a doubt, this is my 22nd year of coaching, and this was the most challenging year. I lost a longtime assistant in Slater Lotz, and, he'd been with me 6 years, and that was the longest I had an assistant. Obviously, at the junior college level, you don't keep them that long most of the time because there's other opportunities they get, and he went on to be the head coach at Itawamba. Lost him, brought a guy in, and then he got an opportunity at his alma mater at Division I to go and be the recruiting coordinator. So I lost him like a day before practice starts, and ended up Brooks Dubose, our current assistant, was at North Alabama, and talked him into jumping on board at the last minute and jumping in. And Gavin Schmidt and Tristan Hickman are my other guys. And I mention those because when you say how do you do it, that's because we're surrounded by really good people, starting with my assistant coaches, and then also our athletic office, which y'all see all the stuff our SID department does, for our programs, and they're, second to none. Kelly, that working with them and all that y'all do and our game day operations and all that are just unbelievable. But we do have 13 sports, and, I am the athletic director, and luckily to start the spring semester, we hired Dave Chatham as an assistant athletic director who had been in the coaching world, coaching football, and he's jumped in and been, such a help along with Morgan and Eric. So very thankful to have people around us that have made this all possible. But to say it's been my toughest year as a head coach would absolutely be true, but very thankful for it.
Let's talk about your team in particular. Talking with Mark Carson, the head baseball coach at Northwest, who himself pitched at Southern Miss, this were his words, and I'm paraphrasing here, and just to get your comment, he said a lot of the teams in the MACCC of which you guys participate can match up with Pearl River maybe 1-6 or 1-7 in the batting order. We can't compete 8 or 9, and we certainly cannot compete with that pitching staff. No other team in the league, in his view, could compete 8-9 or with the pitching staff. Your thoughts on that overall assessment from an outsider looking in about your team?
Well, I appreciate it for sure, and I'll tell you this. I guess this is a good example that kind of echoes what he said. If you look at what we did in the World Series run against some really good teams, and I thought it was the toughest field that we've been at in the 4 years we've been up there. When you add Jones and East Central from our league that were up there, I thought without a doubt it was the toughest competition. I think we only used 16 total players, during the World Series. Our top 16 are, and we used five arms. Our top five arms were, they pitched really, really well. That was the biggest difference I saw at the World Series this year for us was our top five arms were just so mature and so good. That gave us a chance. I used this analogy in my post game. My mother-in-law sent me something about David and Goliath and that, David went down to slay Goliath, but he had five stones and he only used one. That was my analogy to our players in the championship game was, guys, you may not be the guy that is out there today between the lines for us, but we have four more stones we could have used, if that makes sense to you. We have plenty of guys. Our depth is what's unique and special for this conference, and that's what gives us a chance to excel at the level that we have. And that's obviously what we have to continue to do, you know, through the recruiting process, is making sure that our depth separates us.
And tell me if I'm wrong, Coach. I think the word that kind of sums up Pearl River's family.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what's different about this place. It's just the people. There's no question.
And that's a lot that people say that. People use that word very often. But at Pearl River Community College, that is the truth. It goes from the very top to the very bottom is the manager, the head coach, the ball boy. It does not matter. It is a very tight-knit circle.
Yeah, the manager, Altman Hux, clearly is the difference, isn't he, Coach F?
That's what I told him when I hugged him in the dog pile. I said, Bo, I can promise you we wouldn't have been here without you. That guy's a do-it-all. But he's a championship manager, a national champion manager. So we're very thankful for him.
Hey, I want to talk a little bit about recruiting. A lot of your guys, I think all of them have now signed at the next level, but I'm sure more than enough have more than one choice. So when you sit them down and present their options, how do you present them? And how involved are you in saying, look, I really think this would be a better fit for you?
He's honest. I'll say that.
Yep. One of the things that is unique now with the changes in the rules of Division I, and I just had this conversation today. We did our exit meetings before this morning, and I had to tell a couple of them, look, with the 34-man roster now, things have changed. I said, 3 years ago, you would have had multiple Division I offers. But he maybe has one now. And some people think that we want all our guys to sign Division I. That's not true. We want our guys to sign at the best fit for them, because that's ultimately what's important. Sometimes all the guys that we have signed Division I can make it difficult on guys because they feel like, hey, they have to come here and they have to make it to a Southern Miss, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, something along those lines, or they're not reaching their potential. That has been a little bit of adjustment, this year, last year, because there just aren't as many spots left at those places. And so we've had to adjust a little bit with that. But I sit them down and I say, hey, look at your offers. Look at, go visit, number one, compare schools. That's what we tell people when we bring them in here. I love when we have other schools in our conference that are in a battle for us with the kid, because we want them to look and say, hey, Pearl River has this. Pearl River feels right. It's home. It feels like the best place for me, because that's when those guys are going to come in here. They're going to be appreciative. They're going to be thankful to be here. They're going to make the decision, and then they're also going to understand everything that entails with being at Pearl River.
We're talking to Michael Avalon, who is the head baseball coach at Pearl River Community College, who has sent more than his share of players to the Golden Eagles. We're going to continue our conversation. I want to ask Coach on the other side of the break, how this recruiting process takes place. Graham was recruited by the University of Alabama. He'll have good insight into that as well as the Super Talk Eagle Hour rolls along. And as we head to the break, don't forget about our wonderful friends at MCS Home Center. That's where you go for home repair, home remodeling, and home construction. Everything you need for your next project, home, lawn, or garden. It's available at MCS Home Center in Bellevue. 7329 Highway 98 West. Be sure you tell them you heard about that beautiful facility on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We'll be right back.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, don't forget about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. That's where thousands of you listen to us every month on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you could tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour for you. Mo Babinier Company, they're at 2902 Hardy Street. They're a great place to go for desserts. And Movie Star Restaurant. Now, that's a great place to go for a wonderful meal. You'll enjoy a delicious Southern cooking buffet 6 days a week. They've been doing it for 25 years at Movie Star Restaurant, and just nowhere better to eat and better folks to do business with.
My cardiologist says I should eat there every meal, Bob.
Well, I think you do, whether your cardiologist says you should or not. One thing about it, you're not missing any. Is he Graham? You think he's missed many?
Not too many.
Hey, look, buddy.
Hey, Graham Crawford's with us along with his former junior college coach, Michael Avalon, from Pearl River Community College. I'm going to start this segment out with you, Graham, and then I want to go to Coach Avalon about this. I want to talk about the recruiting process. Out of Pearl River, you were recruited by Alabama. Now, you tell me the process that they went through in finding you at Pearl River and recruiting you to come over there. And then I want to ask you, Coach Avalon, when you hear what Graham has described, has it changed? Go ahead, Graham.
I remember the whole process to a T. So my year got cut short, my freshman year. It was COVID. We played 8 games, right? I had had zero interest from anyone at that point in time. Coach Avalon said the day we were actually moving out, he said, hey, Coach Zulli's going to call you with the Rockies. I said, okay. Well, after I spoke with him, his brother was the recruiting coordinator at Alabama at the time. That's how that kind of came to be. And then talking about Coach Avalon saying he sits every player down and your post-game meeting and right when you get there, he's going to ask, where do you want to go? And you're going to give him a list of two or three schools, and he's going to tell you if that is realistic or if it's not. If it is, this is what you have to do it. He gives it to you. From that point on, it was back and forth with Alabama. I had a couple more offers that were – they were kind of putting a deadline on me. But eventually – and actually the guy that recruited me, Zulli, ended up leaving before I got there. But as soon as he gave me the phone call, it was done. I had always wanted to play there, wanted to play with the Patch, and I was very fortunate to get to do that.
All right, so did they come to Pearl River and watch you play and then talk to your coach or talk to you first?
Actually, Coach Zulli, the one at Alabama, never saw me play from what I knew. He was just going off of what his brother said, who was the Rocky scout at the time.
All right, Coach, how has it changed today? Talk about the kids that were recruited by Jacksonville State. We understand maybe a couple have committed from your school to Jacksonville State. How has that process happened?
Yeah, it's still a similar process. I mean, you know, those recruiting guys have guys that they trust, just like, you know, you talk about the Zulli brothers. Obviously, they're going to trust each other and, you know, trust what they see because it's only, you know, so many eyes to get to see people. But the big thing for us is in the fall of their sophomore year, we have a big showcase in Jackson to where you'll have close to 100 scouts, pro scouts, college, and they'll identify guys. You know, they'll watch us throw a bullpen, they'll watch us hit BP, and then they'll come see us in the fall. Most of our guys make decisions towards the end of the fall where we go play on the different campuses and things like that. And, showcase setting where we run pitchers out there for one inning and they get seen and then they go visit campus. The one big detail that has changed, and this is why I do push our guys to try to make a decision earlier rather than later, is because this transfer portal has trickled down to the junior college setting and it has affected recruitment because now these guys that wait till the spring to sign, they may have a really good year. Well, it obviously takes into April, May to put up the big numbers to draw the attention of these four-year schools. Well, what they start thinking is they start saying, well, who's going to be in the portal? So we're going to wait and see who all June 1 hits the portal before we sign any junior college players. So we have several guys, not several, we actually have two guys right now that are going back and forth with schools because they're saying, hey, let's see what's in the portal. But it's pretty much the same. That's the only caveat to it now is when you deal with the portal, they're going to want to try to go get, if they're an SEC school, they're going to go take a mid-major catcher that's put up big numbers at the four-year maybe before they sign a junior college if they have that need. They also may lose a catcher at a mid-major. So that it all just kind of is a wait-and-see type process. But we tell our guys, if you can sign in the fall and you can lock in your home, that's my advice for them to do that.
So let me ask you a question that I think a lot of average fans may be asking. You see a team like Jacksonville State here in town, and you hear that there are two or three Pearl River kids on the team. And the average fan says, well, how in the world – did a player that good bypass Southern Miss and go to, of all places, Jacksonville State? But isn't it a fact that there are different fits for different kids and you just can't paint that with that broad a brush?
No question it's about the fit. It's about the need. It's about the portal. And I say that, well, what do you mean about the portal? Because you never know what you're going to lose in a portal, who you're going to lose, when you're going to lose them. And so there are also, when you look at, and this is a credit to Southern Miss. I think Southern Miss has a very good program. They're a top 25. You know, this year they're top 10. They're a top 20. You can count on them being a top 25 program. And you're talking about in the entire country. That's very difficult to do on a year-in, year-out basis. Well, top 25 programs in their recruiting is at a much higher level as far as further off than, say, maybe, you know, other mid-majors or mid-major programs that they're going to wait later. There's a lot of programs that, you know, a lot of players in the state of Mississippi that want to go to Southern Miss, Ole Miss, and Mississippi State. That's a given. If you grow up in the state of Mississippi, those are the three places that everybody wants to play. Well, there's a lot of good baseball players. Not obviously Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and Southern Miss. They have to have a national, recruiting search. I mean, that's what they have to look at. They know that they can bring in players from all over the country. Do they miss on guys locally? Sure, just like I miss on guys locally sometimes in the state of Mississippi. And those things happen. But it all becomes, hey, what's the best fit for the kid? And then there's also some kids that want to get away from home. For instance, Nico Williams, our center fielder that's a really good player. We put him up for the Gold Glove in center field. He went on a visit to Jacksonville State, commits to Jacksonville State. I didn't think he was going to commit. I was like, surely he won't. Well, come to find out, he looks at me. I said, who do you know at Jacksonville State to where you're just going to jump on this offer the first one you get? He said, well, I know a player over there. And I said, well, why would you go? And then come to find out, his brother's the strength and conditioning coach at Jacksonville State. Huh. I had no idea of that. That was the connection. So connections are also a big part of it when you look at guys and them committing to schools that are especially out of state.
Coach Avalon, what's the toughest position to find consistent talent on the baseball field? I have an idea in my mind, but I wanted to see what you think. What's the toughest position to recruit?
Pitching wise, I mean, you never can have enough pitching. But as far as for us, the toughest position to find is going to be shortstop or catcher. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the as far as premium, big time players. Those are for instance, Gatlin Pitts is a transfer in from Sanford this year. He ended up having our highest fielding percentage at shortstop that we've ever coached, and we've had some really good ones. But he fielded at 960, which is good for us. At the junior college level, but that's where we always, if we find a shortstop, that's the most difficult. A true shortstop is, and then obviously the catching position, the guy that touches the baseball as much as the pitcher.
Yeah, catcher would have been, was what, yeah, I was going to say, I would think. And not to be
I think they're 1A, 1B.
And not to be outdone, but it's just as well that you won the national championship, Coach Avalon, because there would have been hell to pay from the women on campus at Pearl River, because the softball team also won the
never
national.
Never heard the end of it. Never
you,
heard.
Well,
the end
and you've seen this graphic that's out, but that started with me and Coach Meek. She's done an incredible job with that program in the 6 years that she's been here. They continually gotten better every year. But we had she's a good friend of mine, and we made I wouldn't say a bet, even though we're talking about cards, but we just said, hey, this is our goal. We want to be the king and queen of diamonds. And you've seen that graphic out maybe in the last 24 hours that we both won a national championship for the first time in Division II in JCAA history. That's unbelievable. But she did put the pressure on me. There's no question. We were up there. I'm like, man, she's done it. And I talked to her about it, and now we got to go do our part. And, man, the good Lord blessed us with both winning national championships. And what a tremendous, tremendous accomplishment for our institution and for our program.
No question. All right, Coach, we're out of time, but I have to ask. I first met you a couple of years ago after you'd won the first one, and you had peroxided your hair blonde. Did that happen this year?
It did, and it got called out, and I'll tell you this. Man, one of my players said that they met a player from the other team out there and said, man, even y'all's coach blonde does his hair. If 35 guys are going to get together and dye their hair, I told them, I don't say anything to them about it, but if they do it and we make it to Enid, I'll tell them on the way out to Enid, which I did it in a hotel room in Arkansas, Van Buren, Arkansas, on the way up. It looks terrible, but, man, for all of us to be on the same page is why I do it.
Congratulations. We always enjoy having you on the show with us, Coach. We'll have you back again in the near future.
thank you so much. Always enjoy and appreciate what y'all do. Right,
congrats, Coach.
Come on, everybody. When we come back, we're going to wrap things up with Graham Crawford. I'm going to get Graham to put in perspective to all of us who didn't play college baseball but are grieving this week how we should look at what just happened here and how we should continue to look forward. Can you do that for me, Graham?
I can sure try.
All right, we'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back to the show. I want to remind you, if you've got some gold or silver at your house, you want to get some cash, you take it to Jewel Masters on Highway 98 West. That's where Marty Vick will be. He's been buying gold and silver longer than anyone in the Pine Belt. Don't be fooled by Johnny Come Latelys, who put big signs up on the road and say, we pay more. They don't. It'll be at Jewel Masters. They're right across the street from Academy Sports, and that really would be the only place you would ever need to go.
I bought a gold bracelet in New Orleans, Bob, but I didn't think gold was supposed to turn your wrist green.
I don't want to know about anything you've done in New Orleans.
Probably, that's probably a safe bet, yeah. Uh-huh.
Graham Crawford is with us here in the studio. I want to recap here real quick, going back to last week, Graham. Golden Eagle baseball finishes 44-17. They had two wins over UC Santa Barbara, had a win over Oregon State, Alabama, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, won the conference regular season championship, won the conference tournament championship, and, of course, everybody has been mourning their 0-2 appearance in this year's NCAA regional. But what would you say to Southern Miss fans about this season as I've just described it? The program that you were a part of, and how would you tell them to cope with their disappointment?
I don't see how you're disappointed. What Southern Miss has done is created a tradition of excellence, and I know that's kind of cliche to say because that is their motto. But what you're looking at is a team unlike anyone else that's ever been in college baseball. That team is going to win 40 games a year, year in, year out. You just said it. They not only won the conference tournament, they are number one in the conference. And they got to host a regional. They're a top 16 national seed.
Right.
Now, did they lose two games in a row? Yes. That's baseball. Baseball is a game of failure. And if anyone says anything about the game on Saturday, that just blows my mind because then you didn't watch it. That might have been one of the best baseball games I've ever had the pleasure to just sit there and watch because that was a freaking dogfight.
Heavyweight battle.
Ain't no doubt about it. I mean, those both sides lose or go home, and there was – absolutely no question that they left everything out there on the field.
Right.
Tough loss Friday night, yes. Everybody wishes they could have it back. But you can't sit there and say that, oh, we just went 2-Q. It's a horrible this, that. No. We just put up another championship is what we did. And then next year, I guarantee you, they're already – Two.
No.
And they're already back on the drawing board, I can assure you, trying to find the pieces to fit to go do it again.
But you've talked about how winning can be a slippery slope. And the other side of that slope is the expectations have become so high that people become disappointed when you get to that level and then it just can't seem to make the next step.
And eventually you will make the next step. But I can assure you saying, oh, y'all are never going to make the next step, that's not reality. Especially the people that are saying that. One, have probably never put on a uniform in their life, but two, definitely didn't play for a university as special as Southern Miss. And if you had, then you would understand that it's baseball. Now, everybody not happy about the outcome? Of course, because it just happened. But then you look over the grand scheme of things and you start running off what the 2026 Golden Eagles accomplished.
No.
And if you would have said that at the beginning of the year, you would not have had one person upset or mad about continuing the tradition of excellence, which is what they did.
Yeah, there's no question about that. As you look at this team, if you were coaching, where would be the areas you think that they will go to try and shoulder up, so to speak?
I mean, I don't think there's one particular area. I think that everybody wishes you had a starting rotation that was inked down from the beginning. Injuries happen. Stuff happens. Life happens. It's nobody's going to have the exact same rotation the entire time out. You could say, hey, I wish we had a DH. Well, you just had a couple guys that got their chance that weren't swinging it well at that time. Like there's a lot of different things you could look at and try to pinpoint on why they didn't make it to the College World Series. But out of the 330 teams in the world, you're talking about the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Like let's step back and look at exactly what we're talking about.
8 out of 300 plus.
Right. I mean, this is a top team in the country. And in order to be a top team in the country, you've got to play your best baseball, especially when it comes time for postseason. And if you even have a tiny tick in the armor, you can get beat.
Is there a characteristic of type of players going forward? For example, would you think they might focus on more hitters for average rather than hitters for power? Might they focus on more athletic infielders,
nope,
outfielders, what have you?
I think they are looking for a fit. They are looking for guys that fit the Southern Miss culture, and they will not change. And that's why they continue to win. That is the exact reason, because they continue to bring in the guys that buy into the program that are Southern Miss guys. You won't see a guy on that field or in that dugout that is not. They don't recruit them. They don't. And if for some reason some guy slips through the cracks and ends up getting there to Southern Miss and they find out during the calendar year that, hey, you're not that guy, you will not be there next year. Because that is the kind of people that Southern Miss continues to put into this program, and that is the reason that they continue to put up these outstanding numbers.
And because of the success they've had, they can afford to do that.
Most definitely. And you go look at right before the regional, you saw all this stuff on Twitter and talking about the NIL fund in comparison to the top 16. I mean, are you kidding me? We're $100 million less than some of them, but yet we've beat all three of the teams that they talked about. There's nothing bad that came from this weekend except baseball is over. But guess what? I can promise you the Eagles are going to be back next year with the same dog mentality.
Always great to have you in the studio, my man.
Glad to be back.
Glad the new Graham Crawford is doing well.
Yes, sir.
Academic All-American?
That's wild, isn't it?
Yeah. You're welcome here anytime, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate y'all.
Graham Crawford, everybody. Kelly and I will be back tomorrow. And until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.